All right, well, let me jump into the opening monologue. As always, the thoughts for the day, and, you know, kind of in the same mode I just told you about a minute ago, here in the Right Side Way, I got to start off by just saying that the White House and the Harris-Waltz campaign are in full spin mode right now. I mean, like, full spin mode. Like the spin cycle in a Kenmore washer, they're doing everything they can to get the soap and water out of the linens. I mean, it's an absolute mess. You've already heard what happened when Biden opened his mouth on a Zoom call. It was a Zoom call with Hispanic voters, trying to convince them that Trump doesn't care about them, and take what a comedian had said at the last Trump rally about Puerto Rico and turn it into a whole voter issue, but he couldn't help himself. In usual Joe Biden fashion, he had to keep talking, and Joe did the Zoom call right at the same time that Kamala was having her grand, epic final rally on the Ellipse in Washington. And in one fell swoop, in a single word spoken, Joe Biden upended the final days of the Democrat-Harris-Waltz campaign by calling hundreds of millions of Americans garbage. He literally gut-punched Kamala, and then he insulted over an overwhelming number of Americans with a visceral, misguided statement, and it just sucked the wind out of everything. Trump was told about it while he was live on stage by Senator Marco Rubio later that evening. And last night, in what had to be one of the best retail politics positions I've seen in a while, Trump put on an orange work vest, climbed up into a Trump-branded garbage truck for the photo op of all photo ops. He even kept the orange vest on and wore it out on stage to his rally last night in Wisconsin, just having fun with it. The crowd loved it. Meanwhile, the liberal media is trying desperately to say that what he said, Biden, that what Biden said and what we heard are just not the same thing. The White House got caught editing the official transcript of the Zoom call, trying to make it look better. I'm pretty sure that's not only an ethical violation, it's against the actual law. But nonetheless, the whole thing is both comical, and it's also filled up with jackassery. He insulted us, and then they lied. But the damage is already done. Joe couldn't keep a bridle on his tongue. Look, sometimes speaking out of turn can do more damage. It can even take a good thing, make it a bad thing. You ever been in the middle of something that was somewhat tense, only to have one of the participants just deliberately make it more difficult by saying something unnecessarily inflammatory? I mean, like, you know, like literally throwing gas on the fire, taking a tense but otherwise productive moment, just blowing it up. When that happens at times, you look at it and go, that was impetuous or that was immaturity. But to me, it's also a sign of a lack of control, even arrogance, sometimes a lack of professionalism. I'll never forget once I was in the middle of a very contentious legal battle as an attorney. And I was huddled up with the opposition lawyers in a side room. The judge had ordered us all to go sit and work something out on whatever the latest point of contention was. These lawyers, they had already become some of my least favorite people in the world. One of them was so bad that I had a running list of ethics violations that I was considering reporting to the state bar. But in any event, we were directed by the court to go sit down, come to some terms. So I was trying to do just that when one of the other lawyers, taking issue with my stance on something, looked at me and said, "Well, Phil, I just think you're on some kind of a moral jihad here." Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I came out of my seat. Having recently just completed two combat tours in the Middle East, the very idea that anyone would use the word jihad to describe anything I said or did was something I was not willing to overlook. And I told him so, very directly. And as he sat there in stunned silence, I told him what I thought about his poor choice of words and his poor choice of clients, and then I went out and told the court we were not going to reach an agreement that day. Basically, we might have gotten somewhere that day, but for one man's ill-spoken comments that only made the situation worse. Look, that's exactly what we're seeing with Biden. Biden was trying to capitalize on the moment when a comedian said something about Puerto Rico and changed it into something that it's really not. And in the course of doing so, he just threw gas on a fire that was already burning, a fire of people around this nation who do not believe that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, the Democrats in general, care about them personally, for that matter, even care about them at all. Now, listen, I'm not perfect. I've said some things in my day and had to retract my statements sometimes and even ask for forgiveness. Just ask my wife. But it's one thing to be in the heat of an actual argument and say regretful things while emotions are high. It's an entirely another thing to be in a professional environment and then speak unprofessionally. You see, the world actually expects professionals to act professionally, to present themselves professionally, and yes, to even speak professionally. In the first chapter of the book of James, We're told that, quote, anyone who thinks himself to be religious but does not bridle his own tongue is deceiving himself and his religion is worthless. What that basically means is you speak out of turn, you can destroy your witness if you're not careful. It's a bit of a paraphrase, but think about it. That's what it's saying. Thousands of years ago, James was inspired to put that down in Scripture, in written form, about how important it was for someone to recognize if they run off at the mouth all the time, it's only going to destroy their reputation, even to the extent that people will begin to question their credibility on things that matter. In the case of that passage of Scripture, yes, he was talking about faith-based testimony, but I believe we can also apply that same principle to other aspects of life, not the least of which is what we expect of our elected officials. Now, there's been other ones in recent years. I mean, it's a list too long to even go through. I can tell you about Representative Cori Bush, a screaming liberal Democrat, a fine example of the fact that apparently anyone can be elected to an office in the United States. Cori Bush actually came out on a national network and referred to her Republican colleague, Representative Byron Donalds, as an Uncle Tom. Her words, not mine. She went on to say that despite the fact that Donalds was a black man, that he was a racist and nothing more than a prop, helping promote a white supremacist agenda. I mean, just wow. But I tell you what, when someone whose sole life experience before being elected was nothing more than being a race-baiting activist, we shouldn't be surprised. Or how about on the Republican side? It happens there too. Representative Dan Crenshaw, somebody who I have a great deal of respect for, generally speaking. He's a wounded Navy SEAL veteran, now serving in his second term in Congress. Crenshaw's become the poster boy for condescension at times. Shaking his head on national TV, he adamantly derided anyone who disagreed about a vote on Kevin McCarthy as not being a team player. But then he went so far as to say, they just need to get in line and shut the blank up. I'm going to be honest with you, I think it's time for Crenshaw to take his own advice. And as long as I'm playing fair, let me stick with the Republican side. How about Representative Matt Gaetz? Somebody who's come through a scandal of his own. He's apparently never one to choose his words carefully. Inflammatory is the way he likes to operate. Gaetz, among other incendiary comments, once said about Kevin McCarthy, if you want to drain the swamp, you got to put the biggest gator, you can't put the biggest gator in charge of it. Look, comments like that smack of grandstanding, and they only serve to more fully jam up the process and cast his position into one of belligerence instead of being one of principle. But here's the thing. At least those three knuckleheads that I just talked about, at least they were talking about each other. At least their insults were confined to that narrow, focused group of their own peers. But I don't think that any of what I've heard or seen has had the dramatic impact of what we saw in Biden's last gaffe. You see, Joe Biden, he's known for his malaprops, his gaffes, his word salads, his embellishments. But he's not always been known for outright insults of hundreds of millions of people. But in recent months, and now especially now, he has joined the ranks of his peers. Like Hillary Clinton calling us all a basket of deplorables. Or Barack Obama claiming that conservatives are just out there clinging to our guns and Bibles. Joe chose to stick the knife into millions upon millions of people by telling the world that in his eyes, they are all nothing but garbage. Well, Kamala had her big speech on the Mall in Washington, D.C., her great moment in the limelight to look presidential, provide the closing statements for her campaign. At the same time, Joe got on a Zoom call, stole all of her thunder. Joe fired the insult heard around the world. Everybody's talking about it. Kamala gave a speech, and nobody remembers it. Nobody. Politicians need to get a hold of their tongues, though. They do. And remember that every word they speak out of turn now is one that they're going to have to live with later. We need professionalism. We need leaders to start bridling their tongues. Otherwise, the voters are going to have a lot of trash to take out. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.